Welcome to Smart Finance 360, the podcast where money matters meet innovative thinking. Every week, we dive deep into the world of finance, exploring trends, debunking myths, and bringing you the latest insights from industry experts. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a financial newbie, or somewhere in between, this is your go-to source for becoming financially savvy. All right, welcome to another podcast of Smart Finance 360, Your Mortgage and More. Today, we have Austin Evans on, and we're going to talk about how to become a wholesaler. Austin just recently is in the process of doing this. So for anyone listening, wants to learn about it, wants to become a wholesaler, this is going to be the episode for you. Austin, thanks for being on, man. This is going to be great.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Yeah, no problem. Let's start first, kind of talk about your journey of how did this even, because a lot of times when it comes becoming a wholesaler, just you didn't really grow up and say, I want to be a wholesaler. It just kind of happens. Tell me a little bit about your backstory on this.
So, like, my backstory is I was in car sales, hated it after a few years. Like, I just didn't feel like I was growing personally. Got into insurance and absolutely bombed.
Like, it's not easy.
I was reaching out to different fields, talked to a lot of real estate agents, just trying to get into that space of selling life insurance to them, and came across one guy. Added him as a friend on Facebook because that's the correct marketing way to do things, apparently. And didn't think much of it. Didn't really talk to him, anything. Got out of insurance, started working at the warehouse where I'm currently working, and started a protein brand.
Oh, cool.
Got sent out on Facebook, hey, I need people to try it. He reached out to me and was like, hey, I'll try it. Went down, delivered it to him in person, and found out that he was a wholesaler. And then 2-3 months ago, that was in January.
Mm-hmm.
And last March, beginning of March, I saw a deal. My wife actually showed it to me. Place was completely gutted, had 3 acres. And I was like, I can't afford this, but maybe if I get hard money, I can do this and sell off the back portion, have me and my wife live in the front. And that deal didn't come together, but I asked him about it and he's like, yeah, we can make $100,000 on this deal if we put it together right. So yeah, I'm sad about that, but I'm happy that that connection showed me how much money can be made off of one deal in wholesaling.
Isn't that crazy how that works? I mean, you weren't even planning on, you know, you're trying to just do it yourself, which is, that's kudos to you. You probably learned a lot in that process as well. But the fact that, you know, reaching out to sell protein and then I'm assuming this is your mentor now.
Yes.
That's
Jason's
awesome.
My mentor.
That's great. And we'll jump a little later on that about having a mentor. But the first question for some of these, you know, listeners is what in a nutshell is wholesaling? Where do we even begin? Like, how does it work?
Yeah. So wholesaling, what it is you find a deal. You have to be below market value on it. And depending upon the deal, you're either going to buy it and sell it to a fix and flip guy, or you're going to buy it and sell it back onto the market. A lot of the time, when you're finding these deals, they're going to be off-market deals. They're people who may be going through bankruptcy or maybe behind on their mortgage payments, going to go through a foreclosure. And you're helping them with a need so that they don't lose everything.
Gosh.
That's what I love about wholesaling is you're coming in, you're usually about 60% of the value.
Okay.
After fix-up value. So say it's $500,000, you're probably about $350,000, $320,000 is where you're going to be because that flipper is going to have to come in, make their profit. And you're going to have to make profit $10,000-$15,000 off that deal.
Gotcha. So essentially, these are kind of some last resort, you know, situations. Whether someone's going through a foreclosure or something happens,
you're kind of closing fast.
What are some of the basic requirements you need to become a wholesaler? Is there like education, or how does it even work?
No, that's one of the great things about wholesaling is once you get teamed up, I would personally recommend teaming up with someone as soon as possible because they're going to have the experience you need.
Yeah.
and there are no licenses currently required to do wholesaling.
Interesting. So you basically find a mentor, find someone who knows the ins and outs of wholesaling, knows the process. It seems it's such a preliminary process to even all the other processes, because fix and flip loans or fix and flip is a whole separate thing on that piece. That's part of the journey. Wholesaling, I would say, is probably the origination part of finding the deal, correct?
Yeah. So like literally you're getting the contract. You don't even sign on the dotted line saying that you bought the deal until you have somebody buying it from you.
Gotcha.
It's, I would explain it kind of like stocks, if you're familiar with stocks.
A little bit, yeah. Explain
with
that.
Stock options, you buy the option to be able to buy or sell the stock at a later date for a set amount. And if you don't want to execute that option, you can back out. So it's really nice because you're not putting any money down on these deals. Like I asked my mentor when I found one of my first deals, I was like, how much money do we need to put down as earnest money? And he's like, I'm doing 20 deals a month.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford to put out 20 grand in earnest money. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
So there's no, besides your time and a little bit of gas money, you're not going to be.
So tell me a little bit how that works from A to Z. Let's just start hypothetically, you need to find the deal.
Okay.
Go from you find the deal, you execute it, and you go all the way through. Because you mentioned there's some parts where you can back out of it and then just kind of get what you want paid at that during that process. Or do you go all the way through and then you can get paid, you know, maybe more to see it all the way through? Just kind of go from step A to Z. Let's see how this goes on wholesaling.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about a deal that I've got going right now.
Perfect.
So it's some land that's been landlocked. The real estate agent has had it on the market for 227 days.
That's wild.
So she's a little bit short of a year on market, but she couldn't sell it because the owner didn't want to sell off the house that was attached to these 2 acres. And so I came in and I was like, okay, what's going on? She's like, it's landlocked. They want $200,000 for like 1 acre. I was like, okay. That sounds a little bit high, but whatever. So I went and found a neighbor that had some land access that I could buy. He agreed to $250,000 to sell half an acre. I got her client to agree to $165,000 for 2 acres. So yes, I paid more for the easement than I would have personally loved to, but now we're working on the contract right now. I'll get paid once somebody buys that deal. And until somebody buys that deal, we're going to do from the date of contract, which should be today or tomorrow, we're going to have 60 days to find a buyer for that deal.
What happens if you don't find a buyer for that deal? How does it work?
If we don't find a buyer for that deal, we're going to back out. And I would actually like to buy the deal myself.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's a few deals between now and then that allow me to.
Uh-huh.
Because the city right now will only allow 4 lots to be built back there. But they could do a rezoning, which would allow for 12 homes back there.
So during the meantime, you have time to rezone some things. What I mean by backing out for you, like what's in it in the game for the other people, like the person who owned that lot and stuff like that? How does that work out on this piece?
So on this piece, there's really nothing for them to gain from us backing out. There's no earnest money up front. Mm-hmm. There's, because of the way the contracts are written, you literally are risking nothing.
Gotcha.
If you've got the right contract.
So you're just hoping at that point, as far as if I'm on the other end, that this will be executed within that 60-day time.
I'm really hoping for you that this is going to be a good deal for my buyer.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I'm kind of a middleman. I'm kind of like a real estate agent without a license.
Gotcha.
In some ways.
So it's even before it even starts, basically. So let's say something goes through. Do you then execute with real estate agents that you bring in, or how does that work on certain stages?
So, like, this one's got a seller, real estate agent representative for the seller. So she'll get paid commission once we close.
Gotcha.
On our end, my mentor has 10,000 contacts that he's going to approach, and they're going to just buy it from him.
So he'll find a contact. They'll just buy it. Most time cash, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Just get done. And then they figure out a new project to rezone and go on from there. It's fascinating to me. What's fascinating, and let's talk a little bit more about how things are acquired with no earnest money. Is it just basically the way a contract states that the promises that you're going to deliver, where you're going to find a buyer, you're going to rezone things for them? Is that kind of your leverage? Where's your leverage in this so that they can agree on their end with no earnest money and stuff like that?
Usually the places that we have leverage is they need this deal.
Gotcha.
Like, really, we're helping them. Mm-hmm. So that's where our leverage comes in. Like, you wouldn't want to do a deal if somebody couldn't deliver.
It's true.
But if you're at a point where you need that deal to happen, like this guy, his dad's the actual owner, but the guy doesn't want it. His dad's like 85, just wants to be rid of the headache.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they can hold on to it, but if they can get rid of it and still keep their rental income, which the house that we're separating off is, then they're going to be happier.
So long story short, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, just trying to put this on a surface level question for any viewers, and let's just say myself included, in this situation, basically what a wholesaler is the wholesaler is coming in to help save the day.
Yep.
So a listing agent, it's been on the listing for a while, and it's because of zoning issues. So you guys come in, help not only solve problems for zoning, which is a possibility you could possibly do, but you're also helping find other investors that are willing to purchase this as well. Is that correct?
Yep. Perfect. Perfectly explained.
Very cool. Well, good. I feel like maybe I'm a surface level expert on this. What are some common misconceptions about wholesaling that you've heard about or see, or maybe people might be reluctant about?
So one of the common misconceptions I had personally was wholesalers were evil.
Okay. Yeah. They have a stigma about it.
Yeah, you're coming in, you're taking advantage of people. When you really look at the whole picture, you're not. You're coming in, providing a service to somebody who needs that service. Mm-hmm. There's another deal that we're meeting on tomorrow. It's going to be 14 units. The guy got done with the demolition. So he cleared out the whole place, done with the demolition, and he can't finish just because of interest rates have gone up. So we're going to go in, talk to him, see if we can't find a deal that works for him and works for our buyers on the back end. And if that works, we're going to make some money. And he's going to be saved from paying. He's got a hard money loan on that property right now.
So you're alleviating him from a hard money loan on that piece.
Yeah. Which he's going to lose hundreds of thousands of dollars over a couple of years because of the interest rate.
So for that, you know, for viewers here, wholesalers, instead of saying they're taking advantage, they're really just coming in to help alleviate disasters.
Yeah.
At this point, kind of a disaster cleanup on that side. Tell me a little bit about, like, I have in my mind when you asked, you talked about with a fix and flipper where you could essentially be kind of finished with the transaction. Did they take over at that point?
Yeah.
How does that work in certain? Let's talk about the first is if you do have them take over, do they buy it, the property from you, and then it moves forward? Or, you know, let's talk about also you seeing it all the way through. So let's talk about the first one where it's like you're out within like first, second quarter of this thing. If it had four quarters of a deal, right?
Okay. So how we kind of transition out is we could transition out same day we buy it. We might not even sign on the dotted line.
Okay.
So, like, you think of going into a broker like yourself to do mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a title company, and somebody's going to sign the title documents, and you might be in a different state and sign the title documents in a completely different state. So what happens is a lot of the times before we sell it off to our buyers, we're going to say, hey, we're making $10,000 on this deal. So we're buying it for, say, $500,000. We're going to sell it to you for $510,000, $550,000.
Yeah.
And the buyers are okay with that. Like, we've got it under contract. They need a deal. Like, they're fine paying $10,000, $15,000 for that deal. So they'll end up, on closing day, the seller will sign one document. The buyer will sign another side of the document that says we're getting paid $15,000 in the middle.
Gotcha.
Then there's the other side where we can actually have a funding company come in and they'll do like 3 or 4 days of funding. And what happens during those days is if we want a higher commission on the deal, say we got a steal of a deal. Mm-hmm. The seller just wanted to be done with it and they're just selling it, great deal. We might want to make $50,000 on that deal, $100,000 like the deal I mentioned earlier. And so our buyers may not want us to make that much money. They may be like, this dude's only put out 30, 40 hours worth of work. In my viewpoint, mm-hmm. I might have worked a few weeks on that deal, but they're like, he didn't earn $100,000, didn't earn $50,000. I'm not paying that.
Mm-hmm.
So what these funding companies do is they fund it and it goes into title. We sign it with our funding. Then our buyer signs on the backside on the deal that we agreed to with our buyer.
Interesting.
So those are kind of the two exit strategies that mm-hmm. generally happen with these wholesale deals if the wholesaler isn't buying it for their own personal.
So it seems,
portfolio.
Yeah, it definitely has, there's some, I would say you're kind of a middleman in multiple aspects.
Oh, yes.
On that piece. You're connecting relationships to make the transaction
yeah.
happen. I wanted to last talk about, because it's just very complex, a lot of this, as far as like, it's just, I think the biggest piece you need is a mentor.
Oh, yes.
So tell me about the importance, if you want to get into wholesaling. You mentioned it's absolutely number one most important thing is get a mentor who knows what they're doing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so like a lot of things can go wrong with the deal. Like this land deal, I feel like I overpaid, like way overpaid for that easement. And I should have probably taken it to my mentor sooner once the easement guy had said yes, but hadn't said a number and said, what is this worth? Instead, I got giddy and was like, I can do this on my own, and went back to him and was like, what seems fair? And once he said a number, I was like, okay, let's do it. Because I didn't want that confrontation. I didn't want to lose the deal. Where somebody who's had 10, 15 years experience, they're going to be like, that number's too high. I can't make my numbers work. They're also going to have all the contacts you will ever need. Like, contacts equal contracts.
I like that. Contacts equal contracts.
I got it from Grant Cardone.
There you go.
And it's true. Like, you look at the contacts, they're going to make you money. The more people you know, the better connection you have with those people, the more money you're going to make.
That right there seems like what a wholesaler is. Someone has a lot of connections, a lot of capital, and they can help save kind of a potential disastrous situation or just probably uncomfortable situation depending on what someone's in. But yeah, I say, where could you even find a mentor of wholesalers? I mean, yours happened in an interesting way.
Yeah.
Messaging people, but what would you say people now that you're in the game of how would they be able to reach out and find some sort of, you know?
So you can reach out to me. You could reach out. There's a guy named Ryan Padilla that I love listening to. I didn't realize that he was a wholesaler for the longest time. I just knew him as the couch flipping guy on YouTube.
Yep. Yep.
There's a guy, Logan Fulmer, I want to say is his name, out of Texas.
You find him on YouTube or?
Found him on TikTok.
Oh, sweet.
But he's on YouTube. He's on Instagram. And these guys, they're looking for people who are hungry, who want to be in the industry, my biggest value was I came to the wholesaler with a deal. Mm-hmm. I came with a potential deal, actually. I didn't even have a full deal.
But you had something.
Yeah. If you go up to somebody and you're like, mentor me, and you have nothing to offer them, they might say no because the value isn't there. You're bringing nothing to the table.
You had something there that needed a solution, and you found the expert for that solution. So yeah. that's awesome. I mean, I can't. It's funny how things happen in life. It's like it just. I feel like for you, you went and sold this protein. How is that? Are you still doing that? It's a tough biz.
So
tough business.
I want to continue doing that, and that's cool. Part of the reason I'm doing the wholesaling
so
is
you can do
because
you love.
I love. Like I didn't realize what fitness meant to me until I had my baby girl last year. And once that happened, I was like, I don't want to be sitting on the couch.
You want the
with
dad bod.
Keg.
You were saying.
The dad keg.
Yeah.
I want to be able to go out and throw balls to my kids. I want to be able to beat them in a race until they're older.
Heck
no,
yeah.
I want to be able to go do a Spartan race with them when they're like 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And help them live that healthy lifestyle so that we can enjoy our lives.
That's cool. I think that'll be definitely another off to get you on again because I'm very interested about how all that works. But it's cool that you're using wholesaling right now to help fulfill your dreams. So last thing for you is how do we reach out to you? How can we get a hold of you?
Yeah, so I'm on TikTok, Real Austin Evans. And I'm on Instagram, too, under that handle.
Real Austin Evans.
Yes, perfect. Real Austin Evans. Got it from Brad Lee. He was actually one of the guys I was selling insurance for. Insurance is great for the right personality. I'm not it.
Hey, well, it seems like you found wholesaling. So thanks. This is a quick just kind of overview 101 on how to become a wholesaler. Not necessarily wholesaling. We did educate a little bit about what goes on. We'll have to have you on again about kind of wholesaling 101. But right now it's just getting into it, which you are, and it seems like it's going to pull. I'm pushing for you.
Yeah, I'm great. Hoping for 7 figures this year.
It's going to happen. You say it out loud to the world. It's going to happen. So
yeah,
don't say hoping. Say it's happening. So that's great.
That's the goal is 7 figures this year.
Let's go. So, love it. Well, thanks for having us on. Another great episode.
Thank you.